So what exactly does a professional wedding planner do? Hello, I'm Debbie Quain. Thanks for joining me. You're listening to another episode of the WeddingsForALiving.com podcast. If you're passionate about planning weddings for others, this is the place for you. My goal is to help you with information about being a phenomenal professional wedding planner. So what is it that a professional wedding planner does? I know it's a very popular field, and many of us are dying to plan weddings for a living. But do you really know what it is that a wedding planner does? It's not that frequently asked a question. When people say they want to plan weddings for a living, they already pretty much have an idea of what it is that a planner does. But every now and then, when you say to someone, when I say to someone, yeah, I plan weddings, oh, so exactly what is it that you do? So just to give you a bit of background, I started planning weddings many years ago. Back in 2001, I was living in New York. At the time, I was working at Tavern on the Green, which at the time was a landmark restaurant in Manhattan, New York City. Very fancy restaurant. And anyone who was anyone would go there to eat. It's located in the middle of Central Park, New York. The food at Tavern on the Green was nothing to write home about. I'm sorry. I worked there, I know. But to say that you were there was the big deal. And there is a beautiful room there, the Crystal Room. And a lot of special events would happen there, including weddings. So when I was working there, I was working for the general manager in an executive assistant role. I got to see a lot of what was going on. And I realized, wow, people really do spend crazy amounts of money on events. And of course, when you're spending crazy amount of money on events, they're very spectacular. And weddings were no exception. So I decided at that point, hey, I think I want to do this. I want to plan, just focus on the weddings. And I would come in on the weekends and work with a special events manager. I let her know that I really was fascinated by the events and so forth. So I learned a lot on the job. Tavern on the Green, as I mentioned, is all about the ambiance. And another part of it was the trees outside of the building. They would wrap the trees in all of those white lights, pretty white lights. And people would pay for that. People would pay for the staff to come out to their location and wrap the trees. I mean, this is just to give you an example of how extravagant and spectacular this place was. So that's how I got the bug, and I would plan weddings on the side. And fast forward to 2015, not planning as many weddings, but have spent several years doing so. So what exactly is it that a wedding planner does? Now, there are different types of wedding planners. Some are employed by a company that provides a wedding-related service, for example, a full-service hotel, a banquet facility, country club, cruise ship, even a department store. You may have seen the ads for that. So locally here in the Washington, D.C. area, stores like Bloomingdale's and Nordstrom will have a bridal consultant. I'll get to that in a moment because there are lots of different titles. And this person, in essence, works with couples who are planning a wedding, but who are getting married in a slightly different capacity than what you might be thinking. But so you can have someone who works for a company, but most aspiring wedding planners, when someone says they want to plan weddings for a living, they're talking about working independently as the owner of their own wedding planning business, or in some capacity, whether they're doing something else, maybe they're a caterer or they have a venue, but they also, a significant portion of that time is to plan weddings. And when the everyday person thinks of a wedding planner, so someone who's not actually involved, but looking at our industry from the outside, looking from the outside in, they're likely envisioning the fictional characters that are portrayed in films like Father of the Bride. Do you remember Frank? Frank is hilarious. Or J-Lo's The Wedding Planner. Or what they see with celebrity wedding planners out there, like Preston Bailey and Marcy Bloom, who are really the people that are out there doing the big, out-of-the-way weddings that the media makes sure to share with the rest of the world. And if you look up a job description, I wanted to share that with you. Let me pull this up here. online. So I was looking for a job description. Remember I said you could work for someone. So here's a job description. It's not actually for a wedding coordinator or planner. It's for an event coordinator, but involves weddings. And a portion of the responsibilities are, and I read, coordinates with the shoreside wedding coordinator any wedding function scheduled on board in the home port or assigned ports, and coordinates with the cruise director any renewal of vows requested during the cruise, ensures that everything requested for the ceremony and reception is in place beforehand and ready for the shoreside wedding coordinator to take over. So that's just a segment of that. And as I mentioned earlier, that's just for a cruise ship. And as I mentioned earlier, other companies like the department stores will have a bridal consultant. And what that person really is doing normally is they're working with the registry. So when someone's getting married, they register for gifts to make life easier for wedding guests. So that, you know, they're basically saying, this is what we want. Here's the stuff we want. And then someone goes and picks the stuff out. So the bridal consultant in a department store assists a couple with selecting what it is that they would like to pick out. And of course, this is a great sales opportunity because the couple is picking out items from the store. So every time somebody, a wedding guest, buys an item on this registry, cha-ching, I said cha-ching, ka-ching, I made the wrong sound. I've got to get that sound effect. So there's another example of what a wedding planner does. But let me tell you firsthand some of the things that I know for sure a wedding planner does. And just to confuse you, the wedding planner role has different titles. So there are several synonyms. You'll hear bridal consultant, wedding coordinator, wedding consultant, wedding director, just to name a few. Technically, they each mean something slightly different, but you'll hear those terms used interchangeably. So here's a list of the things that you can expect to do as a professional wedding planner. Meet with clients to learn what it is that they want for their wedding. You're going to do venue visits and walkthroughs. That's for ceremony and reception sites. You're going to provide wedding etiquette advice and solutions. So the couple are going to have questions. You're the person that needs to be able to answer those questions. You're going to need to provide referrals and suggestions of professional wedding vendors to complete the different tasks. Because you're not responsible for making floral bouquets or playing the music at the wedding, unless that happens to be your skill set. So you have to find a band to provide the music, a caterer to provide the food, a florist to provide the flowers. You get my drift. So that's a part of what you'll need to do. And then once those vendors have been located, then you're likely going to have to negotiate on behalf of your clients. So when the caterer presents a contract, you may have to negotiate to get a better deal, whether it's a lower price or more stuff for the price that the caterer is quoting. So continuing on, wedding planners also need to create and manage a budget for the client's wedding. So there's usually a dollar amount. There's usually some type of ceiling, a maximum amount that the couple has to spend on their wedding. So you've got to divvy that up. You've got to figure out, well, we'll assign this amount to the flowers and we'll put this amount of money towards the food and this amount of money for the photographer. And then once you've created that budget, you've got to manage it so that the wedding costs stay within that budget. Some wedding planners will also assist with the design and overall look of the client's wedding. And to be honest, that's what draws a lot of people into this field. But that's just a small part of what you'll have to do if you're doing full service planning. And that's another story. So let me not even drift too far off what we're talking about right here. So going on with a list of things that you can expect to do as a professional wedding planner. You're also going to need to create a detailed wedding day timeline, a production schedule that itemizes everything that needs to happen on the wedding day, from the beginning of the day when everybody's getting ready until the very last guest leaves. Actually, beyond the last guest leaving, it's when the last wedding vendor leaves the reception site. You're going to need, on the wedding day, you actually will be the point of contact for all the professional wedding vendors that show up, that are there on your client's wedding day. You're also going to need to prepare a contingency plan or an emergency preparedness plan. So what happens if it's an outside wedding and the skies open up and it's pouring rain, then what? Or what will you do if the DJ is a no-show? There's no music for the reception. Then what are you going to do? Or what happens if the wedding starts at 3 and the best man who chose to fly in on the day of the wedding, his flight is delayed and he's not there? Will the wedding go on as planned? Those are the things you got to figure out. Also, for the wedding, you're going to need to create, for the wedding ceremony and the reception, depending on what the setup is, a layout, like a floor plan. Where is everyone going to sit? For the ceremony, it might be easy to do. For wedding reception, who's sitting at which table and how are we going to organize that? You may be the person responsible for managing the RSVP. So wedding guests are supposed to reply and say, yes, we're coming, or no, we're not. You may need to monitor those and then possibly remind guests who you haven't heard from, hey, are you coming or you're not coming? And then on the wedding day, you want to oversee your own wedding day staff because you really can't do this thing on your own. You need help. So you're the lead wedding planner usually. And then you got a group of people with you that you got to train to make sure they're doing the right thing. And then from the beginning of the wedding planning process, which could be anywhere from 12 to 18 months up to maybe a few weeks, depending on when you're hired, you want to continue to maintain communication with your clients and, of course, the vendors through the wedding planning process. And the list goes on. So add to that now, if you decide that you want to run your own business, then you've got a whole bunch of business responsibilities on top of what I just mentioned, and I haven't explained everything. So you can see why the average wedding takes at least 100 hours to plan. Did you know that? At least 100 hours to plan a wedding from beginning to end. And that's on the low end. It is no small feat. But having said all of that, being a professional wedding planner doesn't mean that you are the person that has to plan the wedding from beginning to end. There is also some options in between there. So just to confuse things. So if you are not hired from the beginning, so when a couple decides to get married, it's not always the very next thing, oh, we've got to find a wedding planner. A lot of couples will just try to figure it out on their own. In fact, most couples will, because most couples actually do not hire a professional wedding planner. Did you know that? Larissa Parks, who's a loyal listener of this show, quoted a stat a few years ago, if I can get my words right, that it's about 82, 83, 85% maybe of couples don't hire a wedding planner. So it's a small number based on the number of people that are getting married all the time. So it's not everyone's hiring wedding planners. So if someone doesn't call you from the beginning, then what can you do? Well, then maybe you might be the day of wedding coordinator, which means you're helping clients who've completed most of the wedding planning on their own, but you're going to come in like the last 2 months or so and tie up all the loose ends. Because on the wedding day, even if your clients have been very efficient and organized and pulling all the plans together, on the wedding day, they are the stars of the show. So you're the person, you and your team are the people that will be doing the running around. So that's what a day of wedding coordinator does. The title's a little misleading. You're involved way longer, way before the day of the wedding. But that's the term that most people are using mainstream. So let's stick with that, day of wedding coordinator. Okay, wedding consultant. Although that term is used interchangeably with wedding planner too, technically a wedding consultant meets with and provides wedding planning advice to a couple who are planning a wedding. However, in this role as the consultant, you don't actually attend the event. You're just consulting. So clients are, in essence, picking your brain as the consultant. The person who knows all about weddings is going to share all that he or she knows about weddings, but isn't actually going to be there. So that's technically what a wedding consultant is. Then you've got partial wedding planning. I was going to say partial wedding planner, but that makes you sound like you're only part of a person. Partial wedding planning is when a wedding planner is hired to complete a specific task only. So the consultant, you're consulting about all different aspects, but what may happen is, okay, so the bride may contact you and say, we need someone to manage the RSVPs. Remember I mentioned that? So they've got everything else under control, but they want to have someone else monitor who's coming, who's not coming. Some clients will actually put on the wedding invitation like meal selections. I hate that, by the way. I really hate receiving an invitation that wants to know if I want to eat salmon or chicken 3 months from now. I don't know. I'll decide on the wedding day. Okay. Bad wedding guest, Debbie. You are a bad wedding guest. But so you may be hired just to do a partial thing, to do a particular task. Maybe manage the guest RSVPs. Or maybe it's to locate a wedding reception venue. So they've got the ceremony site and they want a specific venue. I mentioned this a few months ago that my doctor is planning her son's wedding and it's an Indian wedding. So they need a huge location because they're expecting at least 400 guests, at least 400 guests. So she needed my help in finding a location in this area where they could have the wedding reception and some of the other activities that are a traditional part of an Indian wedding. So finding a location. So for that, you know, she pays me a set fee and my role, my job is to find that location. That's it. No intentions of being there on the wedding day unless she decides that's what she wants me to do and we come to some agreement. But I'm just being hired to do that one task. So that's partial wedding planning. And again, typically as the wedding planner, you don't actually attend the wedding. And then you've got folks who just design the wedding or style the wedding. That's become the term that I hear, wedding designer or wedding stylist. And this person creates the overall look and style of a wedding. So in this role, your focus is more about eye candy and has little, if anything, to do with logistics of putting the wedding together. So that's what a wedding designer or wedding stylist is. And that's where a lot of people, that angle is really what a lot of people are drawn to. But this requires some special skills because you've got to learn how to do things like how to drape fabric and create huppas and mandaps. And there are classes to do that, but it's different. You're on the creative end and not the logistic end. Now, there are wedding planners who do all of the above. There are some wedding planners who only do some of, you know, only specific items like what I've just mentioned. Some people only do day of wedding coordination. Other planners are just stylists and designers. Others just are in the consultant role. And then a lot of wedding planners will offer partial wedding planning. Usually that's not a segment on its own, but it's as needed, as requested. And there are some wedding planners who do the whole thing. So when you see a company like Preston Bailey doing a wedding, usually the design is the draw, is where someone's attracted to what Preston Bailey and his team does. But Preston Bailey and his team will also plan the wedding from beginning to end. So with a full staff like that, there are different people on that team responsible for different areas. But say, for example, I'm a traditional wedding planner. I do full service wedding planning. I may choose not to do the decor side. So I'm hired to do full service wedding planning, but then I may still recommend and outsource or suggest another vendor who does wedding decor. So I may then hire another wedding stylist to do, or suggest that my clients hire a wedding stylist to do the eye candy part. Do you get that? So it's totally up to you. So a lot of times when you see professional wedding planners, it looks great on the outside, but you got to kind of pick it apart and see and say, really, what is this person responsible for doing? Are they doing logistics? Are they doing design? Are they doing a bit of both? So just to be clear, and I mentioned it earlier, in most instances, your clients will have separate contracts with each selected professional wedding vendor. So as the wedding planner, it isn't your role to provide the stuff, the services, the food, the flowers. You're recommending others to do that, unless you're providing an all-inclusive service, just to add more confusion to this, right? So there are some wedding planners who bring everything in under one roof. And they'll do everything. You'll see this for sure, like in some banquet facilities, where you'll go in and they'll have the venue, of course, but they also have a kitchen and they'll have decor that you can sign up for or book. And they'll have musicians and DJs and so forth. A lot of times they're outsourcing. So they're acting like the general contractor and then they're subbing the work out. And then you're paying the general contractor, which is the venue or this company, one fee. And then they, the company, the wedding company, is paying each vendor individually. And what they're really doing is they're marking up the prices of each vendor service. And that's how they make a profit. That's how they're able to provide you all those services for one fee. So lots of different ways to do this thing, as my mom says. Lots of different ways to skin a cat. So you got to, you know, when you say you want to be a wedding planner, these are some of the things that you can do. So let's just go on to round out really what it is that you're doing. The hours. As I mentioned, it takes several hours to plan a wedding from beginning to end. And planning weddings is not a 9-to-5 job. On the contrary, because evenings and weekends are when you get to do what you do. meeting with clients is likely to happen in the evening and on weekends. Because most people, not everyone, but most people are working 9 to 5 or have something going on in the middle of the day. Now, meeting with vendors and so forth, this is their livelihood, then you'll meet them during the day. But a lot of what we do as professional wedding planners requires us to be available on evenings and weekends. A lot of time is spent behind closed doors because you're doing a lot of the planning details, especially if you're doing full service planning or you're doing something that involves a lot of logistics like day of planning. So the thing is, most wedding guests won't know that you've even been hired unless you're sort of front and center like Preston Bailey, Marcy Bloom, Diane Valentine, Mindy Weiss. But most, for the most part, as a professional wedding planner, you're doing the grunt work while your clients get to do a lot more of the enjoyable tasks, like select the perfect invitations and pick out the centerpieces. What you're going to have to do, Mr. Ms. Wedding Planner, is you're going to need to spend time making sure that the wording on that invitation is correct. And I was going to say etiquettely correct. That's not even a word. But correct according to etiquette standards. And be resourceful enough to keep the cost of that wedding centerpiece that they've picked out within the budget. Remember I said there's usually a ceiling, a certain amount available for the wedding. So, you know, a lot of clients will say, okay, we want this, we want that, but they have no idea of what those things cost. That's where you come in, because you're also the voice of reason. So it may seem really glamorous on the outside, but we've got a lot of not so glamorous things that we need to do. So when someone says we want 20 of these centerpieces, and we know what the budget is for centerpieces is $2,000, and each one of those centerpieces is going to work out to be about $150, disconnect. So you've got to figure it out. Are we going to get centerpieces that cost less, or are we going to keep the centerpieces that your client is insisting that they have and then cut the budget somewhere else? These are the things that we have to do as wedding planners. Okay, the pay. How much money are you going to make? It varies. And I know that's not what you want to hear. The thing is, wedding planning, as I mentioned, if you're working on your own, well, first of all, if you're working as an employee for an established company, then your salary is going to be determined by your employer. It may be straight salary or it may be commission based, you know, so meaning your money, you get a base salary. And then depending on what services your clients sign up for, then you may get a piece of that. So if they go with the fancy linens instead of the basic linens, then you may get a percentage of that. Not always, but that's how the salary might work. But when you're an independent wedding planner, the rule of thumb is that wedding planning accounts for about approximately 10% of the wedding budget. Now, it's funny, I got a comment on the weddingsforliving.com website from Alexandra, and she said, when I quote a couple of 10%, which is what I charge, they more than often try to beat me down on my costs, and it's so frustrating, okay? And she asked, who came up with a figure of 10%, or what is the reason behind charging that percentage? And Alexandra, to answer your question, I don't think anyone really came up with that, but what happens is when you realize what it is that, what's been budgeted for the wedding, usually the money that's people are comfortable or acceptable paying for a wedding planner is around 10%. So it's not that that's my understanding. I don't know. I wasn't around when the person created that 10% number, but usually that's how that amount has been determined, because there has to be money for photos. There has to be money for food. Food and reception is usually about 50%. That leaves another 50% to divvy up. So based on what the average costs are for photos and based on what the average costs are for flowers and the average cost for video, that's how those percentages are determined. But the truth of the matter is your clients get to decide, because depending on what they must have and what they can do without will determine the percentage of what they spend on their wedding. But that's a whole different ball game. So the reason I brought that up is that depending on how much weddings cost in your area will determine what your average fee is. Whatever the budget is in your, whatever the average wedding is in your area, whatever 10% is of that number is about what you're going to charge. But it depends. Because remember I said you might be doing partial planning, you might be doing full service, you might be doing day of. It really varies. And then if you're hiring someone like Preston Bailey, forget that. I mean, it's a different amount, because now you're looking at design. It's not just someone who's planning. It's someone who's pulling everything together. So it really, really depends on what it is that you're doing and the area where you're located and really what people are willing to pay. As I mentioned at the beginning, I started planning weddings when I was in New York. The cost of a wedding in New York is very different than the cost of a wedding in the Washington, D.C. area. Although D.C. is catching up, it's just become very expensive to live in this area in the last few years. So I would assume that the cost of weddings will go up too. So the amount that you'll pay for a wedding in New York is very different. Therefore, the amount that you're willing to pay for a planner is different. Based on a wedding, let's say in the Midwest, it's going to cost less money. So the fee that the wedding planner will charge for full service in New York, it's going to be very hard to collect that kind of money in the middle of the country. It's just different. And that's the thing where I think a lot of wedding planners, new wedding planners, and some established ones, are finding out it's not that easy to have a sustainable income just planning weddings, meaning as a portion of someone's budget. You've got to come up with different ways to get that income, to get that number up. And it may be design. Or it may be doing all-inclusive so that you get more of, keep the services in-house and get more of the money by, you know, charging each vendor, you know, getting a certain amount, percentage from each vendor's fee. It really depends on where you're located and the level of wedding planning service that you're providing. So that's just to give you an idea of what a professional wedding planner does. And I've just scratched the surface. When you're running a business, you've got a whole lot of other things to worry about. Yes, I did say worry. Taxes, expenses, and then marketing. You've got to have customers. You're going to need a website. You're going to need internet access. You're going to need to have a phone. You're going to need transportation. You're going to need to pay your staff. Well, hopefully that'll balance out with the fees that you're charging. And I didn't even talk about that. Then you got to figure out how much you're going to charge, which seems to be a huge dilemma for so many of us. But there's a lot of different ways that you can plan weddings professionally. On the outside, it looks like it's a very glamorous industry, a very glamorous career to be a part of. And it is interesting. You won't be bored, but you got to stick with it. You have to be really into the details because God forbid you forget something and miss something and it's your fault on the wedding day. They paid you good money to plan the wedding. You've got to be prepared for that. You're on your feet. Weekends. Evenings, are you okay with that? If you've got a family, that might be a bit of a challenge. Don't quit your day job just yet. There's some fact, you know, you got to do some finding out, do some research to see if this is really what you want to do. Getting hands-on experience. Nobody wants their wedding to be the first wedding that you plan. So you got to get hands-on experience. A lot of new wedding planners will contact established wedding planners so that they can learn from them. Well, guess what? As I mentioned, planning weddings for a living, planning weddings for a living, most people don't go into this industry to become super rich. They really don't. And those that do make it into the spotlight will charge high fees, like the Preston Bailey, the Mindy Weisses, the Marcy Blooms. But their expenses are also very high, too. So all that glitters is not gold. And I'm not here to turn you off, but I just want to give you the real picture of what being a professional wedding planner is about. And as we continue on with these episodes, I'll dig a little deeper and share some more information with you because I want you to get it. Planning weddings is a great thing, but the reality is there's a lot of legwork and a lot of different ways to do this. And you're going to see a lot of things and see a lot of posts and see a lot of blogs and pictures and Pinterest boards, which sort of draw us into the wedding thing. But there's a lot more going on. So if you have any questions, please let me know. Send them over to the Weddings for Living Talkback line. That number is 202-681-2126. 202-681-2126. And if you leave a message for me there, what you're doing, by the way, is giving me the okay, the thumbs up, to possibly share your comment and feedback live. Well, it won't be live. Take that back. To share your feedback and your audio for an upcoming episode. But I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what it is you want to hear about, learn about, talk about, and I'll try to do that for you on the weddingsforliving.com website, and of course on this podcast. Okay, I think that's it. I'm Debbie Quain, and you've just listened to another episode of the WeddingsForALiving.com podcast. Please be sure to join me for the next episode. I'll talk to you soon. As always, lots of love and success.
Passionate about weddings? Staying awake at night wondering if you could be a professional wedding planner? If you'd like to get paid to plan weddings, download Debbie's free audio class, 7 Truths Every Wedding Planner Should Know, and discover 7 insider secrets about what it takes to run your own successful wedding planning business. Go to weddingsforaliving.com today and get instant access to this information-packed audio class. It's yours free at weddingsforaliving.com. Go to weddingsforaliving.com now.
Visit weddingsforaliving.com.